morning.
I'm Sarah Lynn Keller, the Director of Spiritual Vitality. I welcome you to worship today at the Church of Natick, an open congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus and pray that in our worship we will all experience the God who provides a wise and discerning heart to any who seek it. I extend a warm welcome, especially to those of you who are joining us for worship today in a virtual world or in our recorded worship. Regardless of how we worship today, we can sing by the power of the Holy Spirit that we remain connected as the one body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are warmly welcome here. We have a few announcements today. First, I want to thank all of our worship leaders and liturgists and our greeters and ushers. And special thanks to Hank Soretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for all of their work that makes it possible for us to broadcast this worship today. I want to remind you that Jonathan is still on vacation this week, but if you have any pastoral care needs, please contact the office and you will receive a call back. And then a few things about our worship today. We do have the digital screens in front of you. They're the same as what's in your bulletin, so whether you're using paper or you choose to use that QR code that's on the way into the sanctuary to access the bulletin via your smartphone, or however you're most comfortable, everything works. It's all the same information. It is a work in progress, and we will take some feedback gladly. At the beginning of your bulletin, there is a covenant for our worshiping community. I want to invite you to take a look at that and just understand how we are together in this space during this wonderful, strange time of in-between that we are in now. And just a note about the screens and what you'll see in front of you. Anything that is the leader will be in white, and then anything for the people will be in yellow. So when you see yellow, that's for you to join in with your voices. We are still humming the hymns, however, so kind of think the words in your head and hum along, please. And then also, we will have a time of lighting the Christ candle. So for those of you at home, you can gather a candle and light that candle with us. If you are a part of our worshiping community today, we would love to know that even though we're physically separate, we are one in the body of Christ. We'll have a time of prayer requests, of joys, sharing our joys and concerns during the service. And so for those of you in person, we'll be collecting the index cards that are in your seats if you want to add a prayer, either request or a celebration to today's prayer. Feel free to fill out an index card, and during the offering, you can hold it up, and one of the ushers will collect it, and it will be included in our prayer. For those of you at home, you're welcome to email us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, and as long as we receive those emails before the end of the reflection, we can include your prayers, joys, and concerns also. And I really appreciate it if people wear their name tags. I have finally remembered mine today, which is, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. It is a great help to all of us, especially when we're masked, to have those name tags on. It's a huge help to Jonathan, so when he's back from vacation, he certainly asks that people wear their name tags as he gets to know us better. And today, a beautiful day, we'll have a time of post-worship fellowship outside following our worship today. So please join us on the front porch for a time of talking, laughing, and fellowship. Hold on. We'll see if we can fix that. Is that any better? Oh, I'm sorry. Got to say that sooner. All right. So hopefully you got the. You still can't hear me. I can hear me. Do you have me or no? Yeah. Randy says yes, but you can't hear me. Okay. The green light is on. All right. Can you follow me if I go this way, guys? Will this work? Oh, I'm just doing a great job today. All right, let's see if that works better. What do we think? Does that work? Okay, I'm gonna grab my computer. Okay. All right, we'll try that. So let us continue our worship as I light the Christ candle.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom. When we choose to live according to God's will and plan, God will give to each of us a wise and discerning heart. God fills us with psalms and hymns in spiritual songs. We have come to praise God with music from our hearts. Jesus is here in our midst as living bread. We want to be nourished and strengthened that we may remain with him. Jesus is so close to us that we can taste his presence. Praise the Lord. Learn of God's compassion and mercy. Praise the Lord with our hearts. Praise the Lord. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God of holy wisdom, we are seekers on the way to a deeper wisdom and a wider vision. Our lives are full of information and opinions, but in the midst of it all, we long to hear the voice of wisdom. Your wisdom, God, cutting through the noise and teaching us how to live. God, we have come here this morning to learn wisdom from your word, from your Holy Spirit, and from one another. We have come so that the wisdom may call us out of the darkness and into the light. We have come to have the deeper, richer, wisdom-filled life that you have promised to each of us. Amen.
Now, this is a time when we share the peace with one another. So, if staying physically distant, we can give a wave or a peace sign or place your hand over your heart, showing that you care for one another. The peace of Christ be with you. We are having technical difficulties today. In this time of transition, we aren't passing the offering plate, but you can find the offering plates at the back of the sanctuary, or they will be brought up front. So at the end, if you have forgotten to put in your offering and want to do that, you can walk it to the front and place it in an offering plate. And if you're at home and you wish to make a contribution to our ministry, you can visit our online giving portal on our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Let us present with joy our offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ Church in the continuing ministry of Jesus.
Thank you. Let us pray. O God, through the offering of these gifts, may we become a more open people, open-minded in hearing your wisdom, open-hearted in healing a broken world, open-handed in heeding your call for charity. With thanks for all our good gifts, we present a portion of our substance and the whole of ourselves. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapters 2, verses 10 through 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Then David joined his ancestors. He was buried in the city of David. David ruled Israel for 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, and another 33 in Jerusalem. Solomon took over the throne of his father, David. He had a firm grip on the kingdom. Solomon loved God and continued to live in God-honoring ways of David, his father, except that he also worshiped at the local shrines, offering sacrifices and burning incense. The king went to Gibeon, the most prestigious of the local shrines, to worship. He sacrificed 1,000 whole burnt offerings on that altar. That night, there in Gibeon, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said, "What can I give you? Ask." Solomon said, "You were extravagantly generous in love with David, my father, and he lived faithfully in your presence. His relationships were just and his heart right, and you have persisted in this great and generous love by giving him a son to sit on his throne today. And now here I am, God. God, my God, you have made me your servant, ruler of the kingdom of in place of David, my father. I'm too young for this, a mere child. I don't know the ropes, hardly know the ins and outs of this job. And here I am, set down in the middle of the people you've chosen, a great people, far too many to ever count. Here's what I want. Give me, God, a God-listening heart so that I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil, for who on their own is capable of leading your glorious people?" God was delighted with Solomon's response, and God said to him, "Because you have asked for this and haven't grasped after long life or riches or the doom of your enemies, but you have asked for the ability to lead and govern well, I'll give you what you've asked for. I'm giving you a wise and mature heart. There's never been one like you before, and there'll be no one after. Moreover, I'm giving you both the wealth and glory you didn't ask for. There's not a king anywhere who will come up to your mark. And if you stay on course, keeping your eye on the life map and the God signs as your father David did, I'll give you a long life." Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I was fortunate enough this July to travel to a true natural wonder, Yosemite National Park. It was quite a change for me from the East Coast. I found that the climbs, the hikes, everything just pushed me to my absolute limit because it was always worth it to get to the top and see what you could see from high up. I hadn't been on an airplane in over a year and a half, probably closer to 2 years, and so I'll never forget that first view of the valley, the sweeping meadows, and the towering granite cliffs of El Capitan and Half Dome. Yosemite doesn't just take it to another level. It's a little bit like visiting a different galaxy. It is truly awe-inspiring, and you really can't capture it in photographs. You just have to go. So do that. Go. Although John Muir was not the first white man to see Yosemite, he probably had the greatest influence of anyone in the creation of the park and of the protection of the whole Sierra area.
And he wrote, "No temple made with hands can compare with Yosemite. Every rock in its wall seems to glow with life." He saw a temple there. And in a letter to his wife in July of 1888, John Muir wrote, "Only by going alone in silence, without baggage, can one truly get to the heart of the wilderness. All other travel is mere dust and hotels and baggage and chatter." He was a wise, wise man, and he drew other people into a vision that was a really good vision of keeping land for the people, for future generations. But when I saw what the lectionary was for today, the scripture that was supposed to be read today, I cringed. This is the week I'm supposed to fill the pulpit, and this is what I get. I get Solomon and wisdom. Please, oh my gosh, what can I say? And what would it have to do with this grand creation of a beautiful valley made by a river and a glacier in the beautiful Sierra Mountains of California? But as I have heard so many preachers over the years say, this lectionary really was a gift for me. It became a treasure hunt, a quest for higher understanding. And I think after studying it, I did come to a better understanding of what these, a connection between these different ideas. And I hope I can share some of my thinking with you today. I mean, I'm certainly grateful to John Muir and all of the other wise people in previous generations who fought to set aside this land and protect millions of acres of public conservation land to preserve it as sacred space for future generations, and certainly for me to enjoy. The story of the beginning of Solomon's reign is a familiar one in 1 Kings. God appears to Solomon in a vision, and he tells him that he can have anything he desires. And Solomon asks for wisdom. God is so impressed with that humble request for wisdom that he grants Solomon wealth and prosperity and a long life. Well, that's maybe where everything started to go wrong for Solomon. What's not included in today's reading? Oh, sorry. Thank you. What's not included in today's reading is that Solomon, when he assumes power, he kills his elder brother, who was the true heir to the throne. Then, believing he has divine wisdom and a divine mandate, he sets out to build not so much the kingdom of God, but his kingdom, the kingdom of his dreams, a kingdom of wealth, prestige, and power. So the king's appetites were beyond excessive. As if you continue to read in 1 Kings, it tells these stories. To support his extravagant appetites, he levied crushing taxes and conscripted thousands of people into slavery. To satisfy his physical desires, he assembled a harem of 700 wives and 300 concubines. To quell his spiritual restlessness, he constructed pagan shrines and offered worship to gods who demanded child sacrifice. The results of his choices were dire. By the end of his reign, his people were crushed, and they could no longer bear the burdens of taxation and slavery he had placed upon them. In the wake of his paganism, they could no longer differentiate between idolatry and worship. And because he had claimed God to justify his own brand of wisdom, his subjects had nowhere to turn for divine discernment or reparation. Soon the king found himself confronted by enemies. The kingdom is split in two, and Solomon's once golden dreams dissolved into chaos. Does any of this sound familiar? Perhaps a little too similar to the near recent past in our own country, when wisdom goes awry? So was King Solomon a sage or a fool? A noble or a glutton? A leader or a tyrant? What if he was all of the above? Most of the time we focus on wise King Solomon and ignore or make excuses for his bad decisions. The Solomon of the Bible is human and therefore a paradox. Blessed with wisdom, cursed with foolishness. Devoted to God and yet attracted to idols. Committed to his intellect and shackled to his appetites. We can neither whitewash nor dismiss this king. His story is too familiar, too much like our own. But we can learn from his life if we're willing to look at it in its full complexity, and we can heed the warnings. Solomon had an opportunity at the beginning of his reign to choose to be a different kind of king than his father, David. He was in a transitional time. And don't we find ourselves in a transitional time right now? This time between a pandemic and the new normal. The past months of living through a global pandemic has given us a pause, a time to reflect on our present moment, time to imagine a different future. And if we have the will, to actually shape that future in a new way. The COVID pandemic may be the most significant opportunity in our lifetime for advancing societal shifts towards a more just and harmonious society. The theologian Marcus Borg tells us that Jesus' focus in his lifetime was not to tell his followers what to believe, but rather he showed them a path. This way of Jesus involved a change of heart, a transformation, and was marked by self-sacrifice. His teaching involved a radical criticism of the conventional wisdom of the day, of the, you know, the core of the first century Jewish social world. Jesus was countercultural, and I think he was showing his followers and us how to be countercultural too. The task of one who would be wise is to acknowledge God as the source of our wisdom, and then to be alert to patterns of God's workings in human relationship and in nature. The goal and prize of that wisdom process is personal and community harmony, what we would call shalom. The community generally benefits from individuals who live to the best of their abilities and who are guided by God's wisdom. How many times have we heard people say, someone declares, God helps those who help themselves? Many people actually believe that that's a scriptural, that that proverb is scriptural. Well, it is not. Surprise. There are many, numerous examples of an anti-wisdom of the gospel declaring that God helps those who cannot help themselves, and God helps those who help others. Jesus challenges us to think and act in a countercultural vision of the kingdom of God. Think here of the sayings of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, those sayings say we are not to make self-preservation a way of life. Those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, will save it. So Solomon forgot to check his dreams to see if they were in alignment with the vision that God has for the world. The dream of justice for widows, orphans, and immigrants, you know, the least and the most vulnerable of God's children, an ethic of caring. Solomon forgot to ask himself if his reign was still worthy of God's stamp of approval. Solomon fell into the trap of believing that the wealth and prosperity he enjoyed meant that he had God's full blessing. Similar to the branches of the American Christian Church that espouses the prosperity gospel, the theology that money is an unambiguous sign of God's approval. This leads to our willingness to turn a blind eye to bad behavior in our politicians, our economic policymakers, and our religious leaders when it comes packaged in enormous wealth. Too often, money creates a moral vacuum, and it certainly did for Solomon, and we see it every day in our news feeds. Someday, we may look back on this pandemic and see it as a miraculous moment, the turning point toward the birth of a new society. Let's remember June 2020, when people took to the streets during a global pandemic to demand justice and real change, risking their own health and safety to stand with Black Lives Matter and challenge systemic racial injustice and institutional racism. At the same time, people were challenging the view that our planet is simply a storehouse of resources to be exploited in the quest for progress. If we fuse ancient indigenous wisdom and science-based knowledge, we can take this opportunity we have right now to contribute to the health of our planet and the sustainability of life, and learn to be good ancestors for future generations. In the poem, Every Revolution Needs Fresh Poems, by Alice Walker, she writes, "Poetry is leading us. It cares about how completely we are committed to movement, both inner and outer, and devoted to transformation and to change." This seems to me to be a call to seek wisdom. Let's not waste this opportunity. When we ask for wisdom, will we have the courage to follow God's vision for the world? Can we replace a values-blind society with a values-first society? Do we have enough courage to seek true transformation and change? If we orient ourselves to equity, sustainability, and justice, we can close the wealth gap in part by intentionally building a society based on collaborative partnerships instead of competition. This would be a society built on a foundation of mutually respectful, empathetic, and egalitarian relationships, with a higher investment in caring for humans and nature instead of wealth and power. Let's check that. Intentionally caring, setting a higher investment on caring for humans and nature, and less on wealth and power. That sounds like a society built with God-given wisdom. In the same way that a river and then a glacier formed this spectacular Yosemite Valley, we can identify the critical components of a better future society. And we all know what they are: stable housing, secure food networks, safe neighborhoods, quality education, access to excellent, affordable health care, minimal exposure to trauma, and a healed planet. And we make it accessible to everyone, regardless of race, gender, physical ability, economic status, or who you love. King Solomon was human. He had big dreams, as most of us do. He had great faults, as most of us do. He lived a life marked by success and failure, nobility and disgrace. He loved God, and he didn't. He pleased God, and he didn't. He left a legacy that was neither perfect nor wretched, as most of us will. And Solomon was loved by God throughout it all, as are we. We have a choice. We can use this post-pandemic time to ask for wisdom, as Solomon did, but then use that wisdom to dream dreams, not just for ourselves, but for all of creation. We have an opportunity, and we are accountable to one another to ensure that each one of us can thrive, where each can live, work, play, and engage in life without threat of marginalization, or discrimination or violence. It's time to dream big dreams. It's time for big dreams that follow God-given wisdom. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to this time to gather our community in prayer, and I will grab my email to see if we have any emails that came in. I know we had a couple this week, and if anyone has any prayers that they want to add to that, you can pass a card to the ushers. We want to wish Jeff Clausen a happy birthday. Yesterday was Jeff's birthday. Welcome back, Jeff, and I hope that you have a good week. And there is a request for prayers for the people of Haiti in the wake of a devastating earthquake there yesterday, and also prayers for the people of Afghanistan as the tensions and fighting there heat up, and another prayer for the families of Afghanistan. And with that, let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, for giving us this time to look into our words, thoughts, and deeds, and for the transformation that is available through you. We confess that we fool ourselves into believing that we possess all of the knowledge that we need. As we go from place to place, we try to block you out. Even though we say we want to hear your word and speak with you, we fail to see that we are always in your presence. We stray, seeking other gods whose ways may be easy, but cannot show us the ways of love and truth. We are afraid of being fed with the living bread of Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Spirit that we might live each day according to your will and plan for us and for your world. Help us to discern your wisdom, that we might live eternally with you and Christ. We also know that this world is filled with things and situations that we would rather have behind us, and so we ask you for wisdom, wisdom that understands the limits of what we can do, wisdom and courage that keeps us working persistently to do what we can to bring healing and wholeness, wisdom that recognizes that change may only come after time passes. Above all, wisdom that trusts that in time, brokenness will be overcome with completeness. Holy One, be with all those who are sick or mourn, in pain or grieving, lonely or depressed, especially with those troubled in spirit, anxious about the future. Give them all the patience to continue to do what they can to make that future brighter and to trust that improvement will come in time. In the meantime, comfort us all with your abiding spirit. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, the source of our greatest hopes, who taught us that with you all things are possible, and to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. go forth into the world, trusting with your hearts the wisdom God bestows upon all who seek to follow God's will. When called to lead, do so with humility and confidence in God. Share compassion with all whom you encounter. Be in this world a sign of Jesus' presence. And may the grace, mercy, and wisdom of God be your support, guidance, and strength from this day forward and forevermore. Amen.